This is the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. Here's your host, Taylor Phillips.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast here on KESN1033.com. My name is Taylor Phillips. Thank you for joining me as I talk a little bit of baseball here on opening day eve. I'm recording this on Wednesday night, March 27th, and we are just a mere hours away from opening day and the Rangers taking on the Chicago Cubs at Globe Life Park, the final season of Globe Life Park. Coming up later in the show, I'm going to break down who I think the top five teams in Major League Baseball are heading into 2019. I'm going to do it Rangers insider style, just like Mike Peasley does. I'm going to have my power rankings. I'm going to have the nice music bed underneath it. It's going to sound like me doing Rangers insider, which doesn't happen very much. So I'm excited to do my best Mike Peasley impersonation here. So we're going to get to that here in the next segment during Most Interesting. And as you heard there in the intro and hearing Chris Gross's voice once again, I had a bit of an issue with that last week where I couldn't find my elements and I couldn't find all my imaging for the show, because that was my favorite part last year, was having Chris Gross's voice on all of my segments openers. So glad to have those back rolling along here on Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. And again, if you didn't hear last week, I'm doing things a little differently this year, where instead of spending it game by game with the Rangers, I'm going to do it every other week during the baseball season, hitting some Rangers and also hitting some national stories around Major League Baseball as well. So without further ado, opening day is tomorrow. The Rangers are playing the Cubs. Here's what you need to know about it.
Here's what you may have missed this week in Rangers baseball.
I'll tell you, one person that's missing from the lineup is Willie Calhoun, who it was announced will be starting the year in AAA Nashville, making the way for Hunter Pence to start the season with the Rangers. And this was kind of the first test for new manager Chris Woodward, as, you know, it was one of those things where you're having to be nice to a younger player who is obviously upset about not making the roster. He's had a lot written about him this year about how he's lost weight, he's worked on his fielding, he's really put in the work there to earn a spot on the Major League roster after not getting a solid rotation, solid playing time, I should say, in his first stint with the Rangers here, his first full year with the Rangers. And, you know, for Willie Calhoun, this is one of those, okay, what kind of person are you going to be when this happens? Are you going to be someone who pouts in the minor leagues and just kind of checks out because you're angry you didn't make the major league roster? Or do you take this as a, you know what, there's just not a spot for me right now. I'm going to continue to put in hard work and I'm going to continue to get better at this game. And for people saying they made a choice of Hunter Pence over Willie Calhoun, no, that's not really what happened here. Willie Calhoun's a left-handed batter and the Rangers needed another right-handed bat option off the bench. They went with the UTA alum, Arlington native Hunter Pence. So it's going to be a cool moment tomorrow at opening day to see Hunter Pence go out there during introductions in front of his home city. So that's the little bit of news there with the Rangers as far as the bit of the controversies, Willie Calhoun not making the opening day roster. So that's going to be someone to keep an eye on with the Nashville Sounds, the new AAA affiliate of the Rangers, I might add, the Nashville Sounds, where they had a game out there last Sunday that pulled over 11,000 attendance, which was a stadium record. So really cool there to see them kick off their first minor league season there with the big league ball club up there in Nashville. Moving on to the game on Thursday, opening day, the last opening day at Globe Life Park. You're going to have the Rangers sending Mike Minor to the mound opposite Cubs left-hander John Lester. And let me tell you something. I'm excited about this game. I'm excited to see, one, the last opening day in Globe Life Park history. Two, it's against a team like the Cubs, where there's going to be plenty of Cub fans there. It's going to be loud. There's going to be people just excited to see baseball is back. And I'm not going to sit here like I did last week on the podcast. If you didn't hear any of my Rangers preview going over the positions, going over the players you need to know about, by all means, go back and listen to it. It's on KESN1033.com under the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast page. This could be a rough season for the Rangers. This could be a year where they may not be very competitive in the standings. I do not see a postseason run in this team at all. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't just appreciate the year that's going to be the last year at Globe Life Park. And here in a moment, I'll talk about some of the giveaways that I saw and the new food items that I saw on Monday at Media Day there at Globe Life Park. But Eric Nadell was on Dennis and Kalshaw here on 103.3 FM ESPN. Eric Nadell, of course, the Hall of Fame radio voice for the Rangers. And he talked about old Globe Life Park and looking ahead to the new Globe Life Field.
The first thing that crossed my mind when I walked into the ballpark on Monday night, you know, to do that exhibition game is, you know, what a shame that this place isn't going to be a baseball facility anymore. But that being said, I'm extremely confident that Globe Life Field is going to be even nicer. I've been in there. You notice the sight lines. The seats are going to be closer to the field, and I think the sight lines are definitely going to be better.
I'm excited for this game tomorrow. And to Eric's point, you know, it is weird that Globe Life Park has already kind of seen its run end. It was opened in 1994, just a couple months before I was born. It opened in April. I was born in September. So my whole life, that's been the Rangers' home park. I wasn't alive during Arlington Stadium days, so I don't have an attachment to that. But for Globe Life Park, that's, you know, on all the different names it's had, you know, ballpark in Arlington, Ameriquest Field, what have you. You know, that's where I became a baseball fan. That's where I went to my first baseball games. I can remember being there at 5 years old, watching them play the Dodgers and getting Kevin Elster's autograph when he was with the Dodgers. He wasn't with the Rangers anymore. That was the first big leaguer I ever met. So I'm excited to be out there for the last opening day they're going to have. And then if you're listening to this driving to opening day, here's some projected lineups as of Wednesday night. So for the Rangers, you have Shinsu Chu leading off at DH, Rougned Odor batting second, playing second base, Elvis Andrews batting third, playing short, Nomar Mazara in right field at the cleanup spot, Joey Gallo batting fifth and playing left field, which means his groin is doing better and he will be in the opening day lineup for first-year manager Chris Woodward. Then you have Estrubel Cabrera playing third base, batting sixth. That would be the first third baseman there to fill the void left by Adrian Beltre. At seventh, you have Ronald Guzman playing first base. At eighth, Jeff Mathis, the new Rangers catcher, batting eighth. And then at nine, Delino DeShields playing center field. And then on the mound for the Rangers, Mike Minor takes the ball on opening day for the first time in his career. And then for the Cubs, batting leadoff, Albert Amora Jr., followed by Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez, Ben Zobrist, Kyle Schwarber, Wilson Contreras, Jason Hayward, and David Bodie. Unfortunately, we do not get to see a John Lester at bat, because he historically is one of the worst hitting pitchers in baseball. That would have been fun to watch. Something else that was fun for me on Monday was Rangers Media Day, where I got to see some of the giveaways that they're going to have at the ballpark this year. And I will say, if you're a nostalgic person like I am, they're going to have some awesome giveaways as far as bobbleheads, where I saw a Beltre 3000 hit bobblehead. I saw Josh Hamilton bobblehead, a Gary Matthews Jr. bobblehead with him making that famous catch, you know, out there in center field. Michael Young bobblehead, a Juan Gonzalez bobblehead, and of course a Pudge bobblehead. So they're trying to, I guess, hit all the high points there and the big names that have rolled through Globe Life Park in its 25 years of existence. So a lot to look forward there from the giveaway side of things. And also I got to try some of the new food they're going to have there in the concessions at the ballpark. And let me tell you something. If you haven't seen the foul pole yet, that 2-pound chicken strip, if you don't even order it, you need to go see it. Look it up online. Evan Grant, the Dallas Morning News, posted a picture of him holding it. That's something else, man. And I tried a tiny bit of it. They didn't have the full 2-pound ones, obviously, out there for the media, because no one's about to just dive into that at 11 in the morning or 10:30 in the morning, whatever it was. It's pretty early. But I tried a sample of it. It was really good. You know, that's one thing about this ballpark food. It's always pretty good. And I think the one that I really liked also, I'm not usually a fish taco guy, but I had fish tacos up there as well, and they were also really good. So between the bobbleheads, I should also mention, they have some really cool Globe Life Park, you know, year 1994 to 2019, like t-shirts and various other things to kind of commemorate the final season. So I'm going to tell you something, that's all gray t-shirt that had the Globe Life Park logo there on the front with the years. I'm definitely going to get myself one of those, because those look pretty cool. So opening day tomorrow, 3:05, the Rangers and the Cubs, Mike Minor against John Lester. And then the rest of the weekend is going to be pretty sweet as well. On Saturday, they're off on Friday. So they're opening on Thursday, they're off on Friday. And then Saturday, you have Edinson Volquez making his return to the major leagues after having an injury-plagued 2018 against former Ranger Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish makes his first appearance back in Arlington since he was dealt to the Dodgers in the trade deadline in 2017. And then why don't we just keep this former Ranger Trent going on Sunday, have Cole Hamels take them out for the Cubs against Lance Lynn. Of course, Lynn, the Ranger, signed to that three-year deal in the offseason. So that'd be his first work with the Rangers. But just from top to bottom, this whole lineup, and remember, this is a Cubs team that won the World Series a couple seasons ago in 2016. You still get to see guys like Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez. Those guys are always exciting to watch. And then the Rangers, you know, it's opening day. Everybody starts that undefeated on opening day. So again, start time on Thursday, which would be tomorrow as of tonight of this podcast recording, 3:05 on Thursday, 7:05 on Saturday, and Sunday another 3:05 start a day game. So Rangers baseball is back. Are they going to make my Power 5 rankings? Probably not. So coming up next on the Rangers wrap-up podcast, I break down who I think the top five teams in Major League Baseball are heading into 2019. This is the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast on KESN1033.com.
103.3 FM ESPN.
It's time for the most interesting thing from the week in baseball.
Welcome back to the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast here on KESN1033.com. My name is Taylor Phillips. Opening day is tomorrow, which means every team has their eyes set on a World Series title. So who do I think are the top five teams in Major League Baseball heading into 2019? Well, let's kick off our first edition of Most Interesting, a little bit like Mike Peasley does on Rangers Insider, with some power rankings. Here are my top five teams in Major League Baseball.
Number five.
At number five, I have the Washington Nationals, who are going into their first season without Bryce Harper, who has left them and signed with the division rival Philadelphia Phillies. But the Washington Nationals still had a pretty exciting offseason, headlined by signing starting pitcher Patrick Corbin to a six-year, $140 million deal. Now, this pairs him up with Steven Strasburg and, of course, Max Scherzer in that rotation. And I know this game has gone towards the starters only having to go a couple innings, and then you bring in that bullpen reliever to try to get you through and get to your closer, and it's been really heavily used in the postseason. But there's still something to be said about having these workhorse starting pitchers who can really get it done in the regular season. And when you have someone like Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin, their new addition, that's really solid to have, and that's really just up there with any other rotation in baseball. And then from the offensive side of things with the Washington Nationals, even though Bryce Harper's gone, we can't forget that they have one of the most exciting young players in the game in Juan Soto. And it was his rookie season last year, had a tremendous rookie year. Him and Ronald Acuña Jr. were two of the more exciting rookies in all of baseball. So how does he fare in his second year? That's a big reason why I have the Nationals at number five. Also, Anthony Rendon, who a couple days ago it was announced isn't going to agree to an extension before opening day, which it seems like he's one of the only players in baseball who didn't agree to an extension. So we're just going to monitor that situation with the Nationals, but Anthony Rendon's one of the better third basemen in all of baseball. I know he's probably not up there with the Nolan Arenados and the Manny Machados, but the dude can hit, and he can also field. So Anthony Rendon, I think, is going to really have his time to shine there now that Bryce Harper is gone and he becomes, to me, the guy in Washington. And also, they brought in Brian Dozier as a free agent. Now, Dozier didn't do much for the Dodgers, and he was dealt from the Minnesota Twins there at the deadline. Didn't really factor heavily into LA's postseason run. But if he can have another turnaround year, remember, this is a second baseman that has some pop. So if Brian Dozier can turn things around, that's another added bonus for the Washington Nationals. And they're going to have a full year also of Trey Turner and Adam Eaton at the top of their lineup. So the Washington Nationals are number five in my power rankings.
Number four.
Rolling along here on the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast on KESN1033.com. We move on to number four of my power rankings of the top five teams heading into the 2019 Major League Baseball season. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have won six straight NL West titles and have lost the World Series the last two seasons, the Astros in 2017 and losing to the Red Sox last year. And this is a Dodger team that's lost some pieces and it's gained some pieces. And some of the names they've lost, no more Yasmani Grandal, their catcher. Yasiel Puig has been dealt to the Cincinnati Reds along with Alex Wood in a salary dump trade. Matt Kemp is no longer there. Russell Martin is now back with the Dodgers, so there's another old face if you're a Dodger fan, seeing some blast from the past there. But still, that starting rotation when healthy, is one of the best in baseball. The problem is it's not starting healthy on the to open the year. Clayton Kershaw is not making an opening day start because he's hurt with a shoulder issue, and Rich Hill is out with a strained knee and will not be ready for opening day starting the year on the injured list. Now, not having Clayton Kershaw there is going to be weird for Dodger fans on opening day because he started opening day for God who knows how long. I believe the last Dodger pitcher to start on opening day that wasn't Clayton Kershaw was Vicente Padilla. So it's been a while since the Dodgers haven't seen Clayton Kershaw on the opening day starting mound. And as for their lineup, you know, Jock Peterson, when he's on, he's good. I think this is a year where they're really trying. They've had rumors about trading him for a while, so how does he turn in? But I think getting someone back like Corey Seager is going to be key for them. Missed most of last year as he dealt with Tommy John surgery. When he comes back, that's an added boost to their lineup. Max Muncy was a real shock to baseball last year. He was a kind of a throwaway guy for the Oakland A's. Really burst on the scene last year. Had that epic home run in the World Series. So how does he fare in his second year? And then Justin Turner, of course, you know, being one of their top guys, always one of their best postseason hitters. But their big free agent signing, they had a couple. One was in the bullpen with Joe Kelly, and he was really solid with Boston last year. So that's a good addition for them to bridge that gap between middle relievers to get to closer Kenley Jansen. But they also signed A.J. Pollock, who had been with the Diamondbacks in the NL West and played against the Dodgers a lot. He now joins the Dodgers and plays center field for them. He's somebody that deals with injuries a lot, but when he's healthy, solid piece. So I have the Dodgers at number four in my power rankings.
Number three,
I have the New York Yankees, who were in the same division as the Boston Red Sox, so they had their work cut out for them as far as winning their division. Couldn't quite get there last year, had to play in the wild card game and beat the Oakland A's in that to move on to the postseason. So this year, as it stands right now, I still have them behind possibly another team in their own division moving into 2019. But the Yankees have had some additions there from pitching standpoint. You know, they have Adam Ottavino now in their bullpen, who was great with the Rockies. He joins a bullpen that already has Aroldis Chapman, Chad Green, Zach Britton. You know, that's a solid bullpen in the American League. Then on the offensive side of things, you know, you have DJ LeMahieu that joined them. Troy Tulowitzki, who, while D.D. Gregorius is out recovering from an injury, he's penciling as their starting shortstop, and he's a big Derek Jeter fan growing up. He wears number two and models his play like Derek Jeter. So Troy Tulowitzki now at the Yankees. From a starting pitching standpoint, they acquired James Paxton in a trade with the Mariners back in November. And he was somebody on the Mariners who really took the helm there as an ace in Seattle, especially as we've seen the declining years of Felix Hernandez's career. He now is slotted in as their number two guy behind Masahiro Tanaka. I think James Paxton's posed for a big year with the Yankees. So the Yankees are number three on my power rankings.
Number two,
I'm going to go with the defending World Series champion Boston Red Sox. Now, both of these teams, the Yankees and the Red Sox, have power hitters that need to be feared. The Yankees, of course, have Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, who can really light the ball up and hit home runs. The Red Sox last year had that and more with J.D. Martinez, who lit it up in his first year. Now, you add that to a lineup that already has Mookie Betts and Andrew Benintendi and Xander Bogaerts. You know, that led for a winning success for them in 2018, going on to their World Series. And if you're a Red Sox fan, man, you spend so many years talking about how these teams was cursed and the curse of the Bambino, and then, man, they just feel like they've won the World Series every other year since then. 2004, 2007, 2013. I mean, come on, man. These Red Sox, you know, it's insane. And, of course, you have Mookie Betts there, the AL MVP. It's a team that I think is posed for another big year. And when you combine that with, like I said, J.D. Martinez, it's going to be a good year for them. The problem is their bullpen looks a lot different. They don't have Craig Kimbrell anymore. They don't have Joe Kelly anymore. And the top of their bullpen now is Ryan Brazier and Matt Barnes. And I don't mean the NBA Matt Barnes. And remember, this team relied on guys like Eduardo Rodriguez and Nate Eovaldi in the postseason when it got to crunch time in the, you know, in the end of games there in the middle innings. Same with David Price. David Price, heck, he made the last out in the last game of the World Series, was on the mound. Really, you know, revived his standing with the Red Sox faithful there in Boston. So he's a part of that rotation that features Chris Sale and Rick Porcello. So the Red Sox right now, even though they're defending champions, are number two on my Power 5 rankings.
number one.
So now we're at number one here on the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. My name is Taylor Phillips as we're running down who I think are the top five teams going into 2019 in Major League Baseball. I'm going to go with the Houston Astros. I think the Houston Astros are poised for a big year. I don't know if they're going to be the World Series winner when it's all said and done, but I think going into the season, they're my pick. I'd be right there at the top. You know, maybe with the, you know, I can't pick two American League teams, so I'll probably have the Dodgers, obviously, as number one in the National League. But the Astros, for me, are number one in the American League. And now their lineup looks similar to most years. You still have George Springer, still have Alex Bregman, who just signed a big extension, Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa. Then you move down to the fifth spot in their lineup. They added Michael Brantley as a free agent. You know, the Cleveland Indian, Michael Brantley. I think he's somebody, when healthy, is one of the better hitters in baseball. And I think adding him to that offense that already has no issue scoring runs, that's going to be a huge addition for them. As for the starting pitching, keep in mind, Justin Verlander can still get it done. He's still one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball. As a matter of fact, I even saw somewhere where they're talking about Cy Young Award odds. I saw that Justin Verlander is the favorite for a lot of people to win the American League Cy Young, which surprised me. I have Chris Sale pegged in there as the American League Cy Young Award winner in 2019, but I wouldn't be surprised if Justin Verlander's in there because he gives you innings. The dude is a workhorse. He still can miss bats. He still strikes out a lot of batters. He's 36 years old. Can't really tell when he's on the mound. Duke can still deal. And then right behind him, Garrett Cole, who we were doing the Mark Elfenbein show last Sunday, heard from 7 to 9 a.m. every Sunday morning on 103.3 FM ESPN. Elf's a big Astros fan. He loves Garrett Cole. He thinks Garrett Cole is the guy who can make a run for Cy Young as well. So those two guys at the top of their rotation is going to be key. No Dallas Keuchel, who is still unsigned heading into opening day. Same with Craig Kimbrell. Two big-name free agents still out there. And then right now, Roberto Osuna, the much-criticized move last summer, is pegged in at their closer. And don't forget, in their bullpen, Josh James was great in 2018. That was a real bonus for that bullpen. He was actually a contender for the starting rotation spot with the Astros, but had some injuries this spring, didn't make the top five. So he will start out in the bullpen, which, you know, if you're an Astro fan, still a pretty solid choice there in the bullpen. So some teams that did not make my Power 5 that should probably get a shout-out. The Philadelphia Phillies adding Bryce Harper and a bunch of other names. David Robertson's their closer now. I think they're right up there with the Nationals. That NL National League East pennant race this year is going to be interesting with the Atlanta Braves, who won it last year, the Phillies and the Nationals. I wouldn't rule out the Mets in that either. I think the Phillies are also a team that they might be number six on my power rankings. They just miss. The Chicago Cubs, also honorable mention. The St. Louis Cardinals. I think I actually picked the Cardinals during Elf's show to win the National League Central. Kind of my upset pick there. I still think maybe the Cubs and the Brewers are ahead of the Cardinals. And the Brewers, of course, making the National League Championship Series last year. They are also missing out on the power rankings. And then the American League, Tampa Bay Rays. You know, they won a lot of games last year. The Oakland A's won a lot of games last year. I have them just missing out as well. If I had more time and could do a top 10, that would be my top 10. But nonetheless, number 5, the Washington Nationals. Number 4, the LA Dodgers. Number 3, the New York Yankees. Number 2, the Boston Red Sox. And number 1, the Houston Astros. So that does it for my Power 5 rankings of Major League Baseball teams heading in to 2019. So that does it for episode 2 of the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. Again, my name is Taylor Phillips. If you want to hear more episodes, you want to hear some of the earlier episodes from this season throughout the year, you can find them on KESN1033.com. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope you all are watching tomorrow, opening day. I hope you all are at the game if you can make it there, or any of these three games start out, because I think when you're watching a team like the Chicago Cubs come to town, an interleague game series to start out the year, it's always exciting. And then looking ahead to the following week, you have the Houston Astros in town for three before the Rangers head out west to take on Mike Trout, the very rich Mike Trout, and the LA Angels for four games. So a lot of stuff to look forward to in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully the Rangers make this fun for us this year. And if not, heck, I'm still going to have fun talking about them. I hope you enjoy hearing about them And again, I'm going to be talking a lot of baseball outside the Rangers, so I hope you stick with me throughout the entire season. I'll be doing this podcast every other week. That way I can give you longer episodes covering more about the game and not trying to shrink it all into 15 minutes. So I'm trying to aim for about a 30-minute podcast each week. So I hope you stick around. Thank you for listening to the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. My name is Taylor Phillips, and I will talk to you next time where I will be joined by the great DJ Ringenberg. You hear him every day doing sports centers on Jam Session, the Stephen A. Smith Show, Dennis and Kalishaw. He's a huge baseball fan, and we're going to break down the top stories in Major League Baseball with him on Episode 3 of the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. My name is Taylor Phillips. Thank you for listening, and enjoy a brand new season of Major League Baseball.